From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, horror films. Here's what's happening. Wow, the country's getting walloped with some harsh weather. Winter storm hit Texas, has left more than 2.5 million customers without power in the state amid dangerously low temperatures. Here in St. Louis, we got hit with 6 to 7 inches of snow. Right now, it's 1 degrees outside of the cave here where I'm broadcasting, and it's cold throughout the rest of the country. Wow. It's supposed to get better by the end of the week. Let's hope. After an abysmal start to winter, some COVID-19 numbers have been falling for weeks, but it's not because of vaccinations. More than 14 million Americans have been vaccinated with both doses of their COVID vaccine so far, but that's only about 4% of the U.S. population, and it takes weeks for the vaccines to fully kick in, they say. What they say is people are wearing masks, staying apart, and that it's coming down. I think it's going to come down anyways. That's my guess. Former President Donald Trump, after the Senate acquitted him of the impeachment charge against him, teased a return to the political arena in his post-presidency, but he may still face efforts to punish him for the January 6th attack on the Capitol by his supporters. In the coming weeks and months, Mr. Trump could also be facing continued efforts to hold him accountable for the alleged inspiring of a mob of his followers to storm the U.S. Capitol. Five people died in that episode. We'll see what happens. Electric aircraft, such as drones, could account for 30% of the same-day package deliveries by 2024 as network scales dramatically, brings down the cost. Let's check in with our expert on the Internet, Lauren Weinstein. Lauren, that's amazing. That many drones flying all over the place?
Yeah, and I think that number is not the number that I've seen. The number I've seen is more like 2040, actually, for that prediction. Because the regulations that will even allow this to start won't kick in for a couple of years. So, you know, we're not going to be hitting 30. There's a lot of misinformation about this floating around. But the thing is, when you look at any predictions about technology, I mean, even 5 years ahead, much less 20 years ahead, I think we can kind of compare this with predictions for autonomous robocars. You'll recall that there were predictions that by now they'd be everywhere, we'd be resting with our eyes closed and be chauffeured from place to place in any weather, and then obviously this didn't happen. And it may never happen to the extent that some people have suggested, given the long tail of technical challenges. And there's a similar long tail of issues for drone delivery. So while you can probably make this work to some extent in rural areas, you know, if you have a small, lightweight, high-value merchandise, once you move outside of those places, outside of those rural places, you're dealing with a lot of people who don't have safe places for a drone to drop a package, to deliver a package. It's not like the UPS guy who could walk up safely on your porch and put a box against your door. Drones are going to have a space in a front yard or a backyard, and of course many persons don't have either of these, even if they don't live in an apartment building, which is an obvious, you know, problematic case.
Is this one of those things, Lauren, where technology is going a little too far?
Well, technology, you know, arrives, right? It comes slowly and it arrives, but it often does not arrive in the way that people predict. In fact, I would suggest that it hardly ever arrives as people would predict. All you have to do is look at the old futuristic documentaries and things, what life would be like in the 21st century. And yeah, we've got some of that stuff, but a lot of it we don't have, right? So with the drones, you know, it will come and it will be used for some things, but I don't think even by 2040 it's going to be 30%. I think that from a delivery logistics standpoint, it will be used in niche cases, and it'll still be a quite small piece of overall shipping. But there'll be some drone deliveries, and for cases where it actually makes sense economically and technically, it'll happen. But I don't think we're going to be seeing thousands of drones delivering 30% of our packages in the foreseeable future.
All right, thanks, Lauren. Lauren Weinstein, our expert on such matters. The Pentagon has apparently admitted, this is an incredible story, to holding and testing wreckage from UFO crashes in a bombshell Freedom of Information letter. Researcher Anthony Bergaglia wrote to the Defense Department, the DIA, requesting details of all UFO material which they hold and results of any tests that they had been carrying out on it. He wrote that it would include physical debris recovered by the Department of Defense, In response, the DIA released 154 pages of test memories that includes reports of a mysterious memory metal called nitinol, which is used, by the way, to make stents for hearts, which remembers its original shape when folded. Now, we heard that about the Roswell episode. Bergilia said that it was a stunning admission from the U.S. government, and the documents reveal that some of the retrieved debris possesses extraordinary capabilities, if that's a real story. All kinds of things happening in Mars. Let's check in with Dr. Sky. What do you got for us this week, Dr. Sky?
Well, George, it's exciting to be here because Mars Week continues with lots of excitement for Mars fans. We all know as we get closer to the hopeful landing of NASA's Perseverance rover, well, at the 30-mile-wide crater on Mars known as Jezero. And Jezero in the Slavic language, George, means lake. And this particular object in the Jezero crater is going to be an exciting event for all to watch. Obviously, the spacecraft Perseverance is now in Martian orbit, set to descend to the surface for a soft landing this Thursday at approximately 3:55 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. George, it's thought that the Jezero crater is the remnant of a fluid lake and a delta, and there is hope that in the clay minerals we may find some form of previous life. It's a very high probability. Perseverance will explore and drill into the sediment layers. It was launched back on July 30th of 2020. And George, the spacecraft has traveled, well, some 203 days to get to Mars. That's nearly 7 months. That's incredible. Its nickname, of course, is Percy. And the craft's launch weight, George, when, of course, it took off, is about 2,260 pounds. It has 7 scientific instruments, 2 microphones, as well as the tiny Ingenuity helicopter on board the rover, allegedly costing some $80 million. The rover is powered by 11 pounds of plutonium dioxide on its radioisotope thermoelectric generator, which provides heat and power for up to 14 years, not using solar panels primarily. Mars, George, had an equinox back on February the 8th, with spring in the northern hemisphere, autumn in the southern hemisphere. And if you take a look at this, as we find out, even more important, I think, is what the weather conditions are on the planet Mars, like much of the nation, as you're describing, in a deep freeze.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, the InSight lander, get a load of this, recorded over its time on Mars so far, the highest temperature was 23 degrees Fahrenheit, and the lowest temperature recorded was 139 degrees below zero Fahrenheit at night. But a recent weather analysis back on February the 11th gave Mars a high daily temperature of 0 degrees Fahrenheit and minus 99 degrees Fahrenheit at night on what they call a Sol, or a Martian day, 3028. More Mars stuff, George. The UAE's HOPE spacecraft is now in orbit around Mars. We'll settle into an orbital period of some 55 hours, remaining in orbit for some 2 years studying Martian weather and imaging the surface from orbit. Finally, China's Tianwen-1, that's a hard enough word to say, which in Chinese means questioning the heavens spacecraft, has reached Martian orbit and will remain in orbit and hopes to soft land its rover on Mars in May of this year. Its landing is expected to be in the region of Mars called Utopia Planitia, a region of Mars that also may have extinct life. Live sky, we wrap it up. Low in the southwest at sunset, a nice crescent moon, George, moving on to first quarter by the 19th. Take a look for the moon and Mars close on the night of the 19th. And that planet is some now, Mars, 125 million miles away from your eye, taking light some 11 minutes to get from the Earth to Mars. And the new Mars mission, Perseverance, will hopefully be on the surface of Mars on Thursday. In the morning sky, we offer up a close conjunction of Venus and Jupiter still, with Mercury and Saturn close in the same region of the sky on the 23rd in the pre-dawn sky. Dr. Sky reminds you to always remember to keep your eyes to the skies. More information always at theskylive.com. And I'm your navigator on the highway to the heavens. Email me, of course, at drskyshow@gmail.com. An exciting week, George, for Mars exploration.
Put yourself on the calendar for Thursday, Dr. Sky. We'll get your reaction to the lander, okay?
Well, I love it. Thank you so much. We'll be there.
All right. We'll see what happens. Keep our fingers crossed for another successful Mars landing. Up next, Maria Shaw joins us as we talk about her work as a psychic astrologer. Next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you as we get your week underway. Maria Shaw with us, psychic astrologer from the New Orleans French Quarter area, author of a number of books published in 9 languages. Maria specializes in astrology pertaining to karmic relationships, soulmates, twin flames, past live connections. She has appeared on VH1, CBS, Fox, other network television shows, and pens the weekly horoscopes for the National Enquirer and the Soap Opera Digest. Maria, welcome to the program. Good to have you with us.
Oh, thank you so much, George, for having me. It's a pleasure.
Is it cold where you are?
It is. It's very cold for New Orleans. I'm right here in the middle of the French Quarter. As you know, you've heard, they've canceled Mardi Gras.
Right.
And there's nobody on the streets. It's Lundi Gras. We should have a million people here and maybe one or two rambling about. You're not allowed to go out unless you have a purpose. You have to go to either a restaurant or you have to go to your home. So there's police checkpoints at a lot of the major streets, and you have to tell them where you're going and what you're doing. But it's about 28 degrees, I think. So very cold for here, a damp cold.
That's a heat wave compared to where I am in St. Louis right now. I left Los Angeles because it's shut down virtually, but I'm in St. Louis, and it's 1 degree right now as we're talking.
Ooh.
It's 6 inches of snow.
I know we have some listeners probably listening tonight from Minnesota, and they reported to me that it was negative 17, and the wind chill was like negative 40. So
unbelievable.
I think we're a little bit better off than they are.
Well, happy President's Day to you.
Well, yes, and you the same.
Now, being, you know, President's Day, let's talk about some of the presidents just for a little bit about their astrological charts. Donald Trump, of course, escaped conviction with his impeachment trial Friday, and is moving ahead now, and hopefully get his life back together. He's a Gemini, like I am. What do the charts say about him?
Well, he's a Gemini, and he has a Sagittarius moon, and he has a late degree Leo rising sign. So what that means in layman's terms is that a lot of times he will come out of whatever he gets himself into. He will land on his feet, and that's because his rising sign is very close to the star of Regulus, which is the sign of royalty, the sign of leadership. And I don't want to say he's born under a lucky star, but in essence, a lucky star kind of is protecting him. So he's gonna be okay. There's a good chance that he's going to come up with something here on the full moon. We'll probably be hearing something from him on the full moon on the 27th or 28th of February. But if you look at this last presidency, Mike Pence was a Gemini. So we had two Geminis in the highest offices there. Then Rudy Giuliani, also a Gemini. I think we had a lot of air energy, a lot of Gemini energy in the Oval Office for the last 4 years.
George W. Bush, he's a Cancer sign, right?
That's true. And there are a lot of Cancers that have been presidents. Gerald Ford also. And I've done some research on a lot of these presidents, and a lot of them have ties to the United States chart. You know, we were born July 4th, 1776, and when you do a lot of the president's chart, you'll see that many of them were born in June, July, or August, right around that July 4th date where they have planets that interact with the United States chart. So George W. Bush, a Cancer. He has a Leo rising sign, Gerald Ford, a Cancer, Bill Clinton, a Leo, and President Obama, also a Leo. So you're going to see a lot of summer-born presidents because they'll have a lot of the same planets.
Now, how about Jimmy Carter? He's 94 years old, 96 years old, born October 1st, 1924. What's his sign? Do you know?
He's a Libra.
And so he just keeps going, doesn't he?
He does. And, you know, Libra and Gemini and Aquarius, they tend to have longevity for the most part. And they also look younger than they are. But he's looking pretty good for 94.
96, actually.
Oh, is he?
Okay, yeah, he was born in 1924. He'll be 97 October 1st.
Wow. Well, God bless him.
I love
it. Yeah, so we've had quite a bit of the presidents born in the summer and, like you said, the early fall. But our new president, President Biden, is a Scorpio. And that is, I don't know of too many Scorpios in my recollection that have won the presidency. I'm sure there are some. And then the vice president, Harris, is a Libra. So Biden and Harris both have receptive planets to each other. They're called neighboring signs. So if you have somebody born, you know, the sign before you or the sign after you, a lot of time the planets are similar, and those signs do have quite a bit of compatibility.
Maria, 2021 has gotten off to COVID, the impeachment trial that just wrapped up. And is it going to get any better?
It'll be better than 2020.
Good.
2020, good. We had the Pluto-Saturn conjunction, which basically broke everything down in the world, and now we're in the rebuilding stage. So we're not going to have that harsh of an aspect that we did in 2020. But 21 has its own thing to deal with, and we have the peak coming up Wednesday. It's the Saturn-Uranus square, and squares cause frustration, usually by an event, a person, our environment, and squares can bring tension and frustration. So individually, people may be feeling, you know, their own issues. But on a global level, we've certainly seen this with the weather patterns. Oh, and I want to say something about the weather before I forget. But the square peaks on Wednesday, the 17th of February. So we're going to have three squares this year where people will feel tension between sticking with what we know versus change, accepting and embracing change. So we're going to have the country will be divided, is staying with the past versus moving forward and accepting change. So that's where the tension lies. The next square will be, I think, June 13th, 14th, and the last one will be Christmas Eve. So we're going to be dealing with this divide, this tension, this confusion throughout the year. But I do believe the COVID's going to be clearing this year and evaporating, so I think we'll be in better shape. But George, I want to say about the weather before I forget, because you brought that up at the beginning of the show. What we're having in February right now is a preview of what our winter is going to be like in 2022. This is only going to be in February this year, though, and that's because a majority of planets are in the winter sign of Aquarius. Cold, ice, low temperatures, you know, lots of snow. And when you have, I think we have like six planets in Aquarius and an asteroid right now. That'll be evaporating after the 20th. And so we're going to see, you know, the weather lighten up a little bit after the 20th of February. But this is a preview of how all winter next year is going to be, because we'll have planets in Aquarius that are not protected as they are this year by Jupiter. So get ready. If you live in a winter, you know, a heavy winter state like up in Michigan or Wisconsin or the Northeast, Northwest, you may want to think about vacationing in South Florida, you know, next year at this time.
I'm thinking about that right now with all the cold weather we've been having, but I don't take vacations, so here I am. Valentine's Day was yesterday. Anything unusual?
You know, Valentine's Day, I have a lot to say about that, because the fact that a lot of people, a lot of my clients that I know and people on Facebook got engaged. They got a ring.
Which is pretty standard for Valentine's Day, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But here's the challenge. If you're planning a wedding, I've got some astrological dates that you do not want to get married on.
Oh, really?
And one of the Yes, because Venus is going to be going retrograde the end of this year and the first of next year. And you should never get married on a Venus retrograde unless you're remarrying your ex. Venus retrograde is kind of like a Mercury retrograde, which we're in right now. And whenever Venus goes retrograde, there's usually one partner that doesn't feel connected or married or is kind of forced to the altar. And usually, if you get married on that day with Venus retrograde, it's not a good omen for the wedding chart. And this is going to go on December 18th of 2021 to January 22nd of 2022. So if you got a ring yesterday, you don't want to plan a Christmas wedding, a New Year's wedding. You want to do it before, you want to do it after, because you want to avoid that Venus retrograde, which is not a good time either to get cosmetic surgery. Anything with the beauty industry, but it is very good for getting back with an ex if you wanted to do that.
No, of course, not a lot of people do that, though, do they?
Right. I've heard some, but it's not a good thing to get back with the ex. But Leos are going to be very lucky in love this Valentine's Day and throughout the year. Our Leo friends born in late July, August. But if you're a Leo and you got engaged or you're thinking about it, you may want to give it a second thought, because in 2022, who you thought was so hot this year may not be in 2022.
Interesting.
You'll have a long engagement if you're a Leo. Things are going to appear quite differently next year.
Maria, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and chat more about you and what your history is. She's got a book out, by the way. She's got many. One is called Book of Love. Her website is mariashaw.com, linked up to coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We're with the psychic astrologer Maria Shaw. Her book, one of them, Book of Love, Horoscopes, Palmistry, Numbers, Candles, Gemstones, Colors, Horoscopes, Palmistry, Numbers, Candies, Candles, Gemstones, Colors. You've got all kinds of stuff there.
Oh, yeah. There's a masterpiece for everyone.
Good for you.
A little bit of everything.
And you've got how many books out now?
I have, I want to say, 8 books in 9 languages. I'm published by Llewellyn.
Oh, good people.
And I also self-published, too, yeah.
Good people. How did you get into astrology, Maria?
Well, I met my biological mother. I used to do what you do. I hosted a radio show when I was a television news anchor 50 pounds ago and probably about 20 years ago.
What market? What market were you in?
I was in Detroit.
Well, that's my hometown.
Oh, really? I lived in Bloomfield Hills. Where did you live?
I lived in Farmington Hills.
Oh, my gosh. We're neighbors.
What station were you at?
WYCD, 99.5 FM.
Okay, and how about the TV work?
The TV, I was at WNEM, Channel 5 in Saginaw Bay City.
Oh, Saginaw. Prince. That's right. I was I was the executive producer at Channel 2, WJBK. And then I started when I was 19 years old at WXYZ, and then I ended up working at WDIV, and then I went to Minneapolis for a year, then St. Louis, and yeah, I was in the TV business for years.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you probably, maybe we crossed paths and we didn't know. I got hired as a TV anchor when I was 19 also, but that was at WEYI, TV 25.
Yeah, absolutely. You remember, remember Ray Lane, the sportscaster, Joe Glover, Robbie Timmons,
yeah.
Terry Murphy,
yeah.
All those people. Yeah,
I
worked with all of them. Yep.
Yes, I was going to ask you about Bill Bonds. Yes.
It's a great market.
Gosh.
Yeah, Bill came in right after I left. I was 1969 when I was at WXYZ, and he came in after that. But Barney Morris was the anchor man at the time, going way back.
Wow, that is amazing. Small world. And I have worked quite a bit in Minneapolis in the last couple of years. I've on a couple, like the Jason show up there, and I've been on with Tom Bernard.
Were you born in Detroit?
Yes, I was born in Detroit.
So
yes.
Was I.
Oh my gosh!
So was I.
And my birthday's June 27th. I love Geminis. I have my Venus Mercury in Gemini.
Why? And I'm June 4, as you know. So.
Yes, that's great. Well, it's nice to finally get to talk to you.
So, anyways, we did meet.
In Los Angeles, I was a speaker at the airport.
Conscious Life.
Conscious
Life.
Many years ago, yes.
I guess it's going to be Zoom this year. Everything's Zoom this year.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, back to your world life as a psychic astrologer. And you said you met your biological mother. Tell me about that.
Well, she was a real estate agent in Centerline, Michigan, Fraser, mm-hmm. Michigan area, and she did astrology at night and for fun. And when I met her, she was looking at my astrology chart, and of course, astrology is a foreign language. You know, it's just a bunch of jargon you don't understand, moon conjunct Venus and this and that. And she said, oh my God, you're more psychic than all of us. You need to do this work. You need to do this work. Well, here I am trying to get the 6 o'clock news position, right, as the anchor. And I don't want to do readings, but I'm interested in them because, yeah, I used to get readings if you break up with your boyfriend, is he coming back type of thing. So I moved from Flint to Bloomfield because of my husband's work.
Okay.
And I couldn't get back into that TV market, so I started hanging up signs at the grocery store's psychic house parties that I would do with my mother. And then it ended up taking off, and I guess when you're on the right path, it's like a domino effect. And here I was booked a year in advance. I ended up getting an agent, Steve Allen, out of Los Angeles. He got me on a lot of TV shows. I started doing events around the country. Signed a deal with Llewellyn, and then here I am today with George Norrie.
See, if I were doing television when you were still in Detroit, I would have hired you to be our psychic astrologer to come on the show every once in a while.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah, that would have been that would have been brand new for television back in the 70s. I mean, nobody was doing that then.
Yeah, I was probably in school back then. I didn't even know what the sun conjunctive Venus meant. But give me a couple more years, I would have joined you.
What would you say, Maria, that your specialty is?
Relationships. That's my biggest question that I get, and I've gotten all these years, is, you know, when am I going to meet my soulmate? Have I met my soulmate? If you have to ask, you probably haven't, you know. But that's the biggest thing, is karmic love. I've gotten into past life relationships, karmic ties between people, family karma. So I deal a lot mainly with that. But I can read like a general chart, and I can give you predictions like for the next year with 12 areas of your life. I mean, I could talk career, home, money, all that kind of stuff. But really, it's about love, and that's why we're all here.
When you say soulmate, what do you mean by that? Because people have different definitions for that.
They do. Soulmates do not have to be a lover, a husband, a wife, a girlfriend, or a boyfriend. Soulmates are two souls walking on the same path and meeting up at a specific time the souls have agreed to. They usually have a soul contract or a promise made for a specific purpose. And soulmates don't always have to stay together their entire lifetime. You can have more than one soulmate, and they come in at different times of our lives pertaining to our soul agreement. But a lot of people think, oh, I'm 60 years old. I haven't met my soulmate yet. I guess my time is over. Listen, I have clients that are 79, 69, 40 that are meeting their soulmates for the first time. But if your soulmate is a romantic partner, that is wonderful. But a lot of times your soulmates could be your best friend, maybe a child, maybe even a pet for those pet lovers.
If you have had reincarnation in your lifespan, would you have met your soulmate many times or just this one time?
I believe that you meet your soulmate many times. Usually, what happens is, what I believe, is that the souls have made an agreement to come back and work on something that maybe wasn't finished, maybe out of love sometimes. I have done charts of people that I've seen that are married or that have been together in major relationships that keep reincarnating time and time again just to be with each other. And a lot of times people make vows, knowingly or unknowingly, that they are with that person lifetime after lifetime. So when you make a vow, let's say you get married to somebody and you say, till death do us part, then you're done at the moment that partner passes. But if you make a vow that says, I will love you through all eternity in this lifetime and every other lifetime, you know how some people get real dramatic when they write their vows? You better be sure you want to do that, because that vow will stick. If said in more than two lifetimes, those vows will stick, and you could reincarnate time and time and time again. But you may not reincarnate as lovers. You may be married in one lifetime, and the next lifetime, so, you know, one of the partners could be your child or your best friend or a cousin. So the roles can change, the genders can change, the purpose can change. But the souls, a lot of times, will recognize one another. They won't know, like, oh, that was my husband in a previous lifetime. But they'll feel a connection, and they'll say, I've never felt like this about anybody before. Or there's a special connection between, you know, me and him or whatever. And I always say, look in the eyes, because the eyes are the window to the soul. And you can see somebody real deep. If you look into their eyes, you can feel that special connection. But a lot of people don't even realize that once they say a vow, it sticks. Mm-hmm. And in order to release that vow, they have to renounce it. Because, you know, let's say you get a divorce from somebody. Legally, you're done, right? The court, everybody says, okay, they're divorced. They're
you
done.
Are, technically, sure.
Yeah, but you made a vow to that person. And that vow, I'm talking, you know, that legally, and then you got spiritually. So spiritually, you're still connected to that person until death do you part, or whatever your vow said, or next lifetime, whatever. So you have to renounce the vow in order to cut the tie with the person. Otherwise, you're still energetically connected, like it or not. That's why people have one person has a hard time letting go, or one person's still angry, so they carry that anger to their deathbed, you know. So very important. People don't realize that a lot of times. You have to renounce the vow, just not sign a legal document.
Well, you talk about how important the eyes are, Maria. One thing that COVID and masks have done is you really have an opportunity now to look at somebody's eyes. Have you noticed that?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, you do. And people are really good looking with their masks on because they got pretty eyes. But I don't want to wear makeup one day. That mask comes in real handy. And I'm going to be wearing my winter hat with the knit mask every single winter because those things are warm. And I was telling my friends, I think I'm going to wear these masks in the winter when it's real cold.
Well, it's that season.
But, yeah, people's eyes, you could tell a lot about a person through their eyes, and you certainly can, George, with the masks on.
We're going to take calls with you next hour, Maria, and I understand you need their birth date. And if they want to ask you about their relationship, you need the birth date of that other person as well, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, but you can do a general reading. And keep the calls to about a minute and a half apiece because we get so many,
okay,
if you can. I had a psychic on once who went about 6 minutes a call, and I got like four calls in or something like that.
And, I'll be glad to do it.
Keep it tight. But you had mentioned earlier that 2021 is going to be better than 2020. Can I hold your word to that?
Yeah, because we don't have the harsh aspect that we did with Pluto and Saturn conjunct in Capricorn. That aspect, I don't believe, has happened since 1776. And you know what happened in 1776. You know, the United States was born. So now we came back to that aspect in 2020, and everything was broken down, our political climate, our world, and now we're in a rebuilding stage, which will go on until about 2024. So it's going to be, it's not the best year ever, but it's going to be a little easier and better. We'll see a lot more breakthroughs in this new year.
We really didn't know too much about the COVID disaster until a little bit later on in the spring of last year. It was trickling out in December in China, and then we started hearing about it in January and February, but not a lot, and then it really started getting blossomed out. Did you know that 2020 was going to be so bad?
I predicted it, and if people listen to some of my past predictions on YouTube and that, I did say that 2021 was going to be a year like we would never have ever seen in the history, that our world would be broken down and we would have to rebuild. I did not say that it was going to be a virus. I didn't know what it was, but I knew that Saturn-Pluto conjunction was going to change our government, our school systems, our health industries, our jobs, and our relationships. I did say that, but I didn't know why. I just knew that was going to be a really hard aspect. Again, it hadn't been around for 200 and some years. So when we have big generational planets that make connections like that and aspects, they change a whole generation of people. And, you know, we're still going to be rebuilding for several years, you know, from this. Pluto will still be in Capricorn. And Pluto represents death and regeneration, breaking down and rebuilding. Capricorn represents the government, our school districts, our health, all the big business, all the big corporations. So we're forced to break down and rebuild, ready, you know, like it or not.
What makes you believe that 2021 is going to be a better year?
The astrological aspects are not as harsh, and we have the planet Jupiter, the planet of good luck and abundance, conjuncting Saturn, the very karmic planet. And so, and they're both in the sign of Aquarius. And Aquarius is about humanity, friendship, coming together. So I think we're still going to have some sort of a division, but I think there's going to be much more of a need, a response from, you know, the masses of people to really work on coming together. And also with Jupiter and Saturn and Aquarius, there's going to be profound and long-lasting changes for the better. And they'll start. The foundation is already being started. I mean, we're really kind of now into the age of Aquarius. I believe that we started the age of Aquarius, you know, several years back, but now with all the planets in Aquarius and major heavy hitter planets, we're going to see that age of Aquarius, that age of humanity, of coming together, social justice for everybody, coming about, you know, at least the foundation being laid this year. So I think that's one of the good things coming out of this new year.
Maria, are you a believer in karma? What goes around comes around?
Yeah. Yes, yes.
What does that?
Karma, I believe, is not necessarily a bad thing. A lot of people will say, oh, there's bad karma, you know, good karma, et cetera. Basically, whatever you put out, you know, comes back to you. Thoughts are like boomerangs, too. Whatever you think will come back to you. But we all have karma that we're born with. And people think, oh, I'm creating bad karma. You may already be born with some karma that you're working on. And the most important karma, I think, comes from our family. Because those are the people and those relationships, our first relationships, we're born into that family. So family karma can be very heavy. And if you look at astrology, your grandparents would show up in the seventh house of your natal chart. And if your grandparents have lived a good marriage and supported the family, then your marriage should be good. If your grandparents had sins against the family, had a bad marriage, caused a lot of problems, then it will skip that generation of their children, and it will go on to the grandchildren.
Jeez.
So if you're having relationship issues, it'll show in your chart that where it came from the grandparents, and that's the karma that you may have to work through or work on.
Almost like a curse of the family or something, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Some people will call it that. But if you can trace your family karma, and what I feel this is also repetitive patterns. So let's say you had abuse in the family, you know, several generations back. That could be a pattern until the family gatekeeper stops it for future generations. And the family gatekeeper is usually somebody that is more spiritually evolved, that other family members may feel is a little woo-woo or a little crazy, but they feel this need to kind of save the family and fix things. And a lot of times they'll tell people they're the family gatekeeper. It's a job. Are you sure you really want this job? But they'll feel drawn to saving the family. But you need to look back at the generations above you and see where, let's say, just for an example, the abuse started or the addiction started. And then you'd make the corrections by forgiving the grandparents. There's a whole, or whatever generation it came from. But you have to pinpoint as far back as you can go. Make the corrections in current time, do the forgiveness work, all this stuff. And then you can be the one that changes the patterns and the buck stops with you. Not always easy. There's going to be people that are going to fight you on it. They don't even realize why they're fighting. But lots of family karma, especially with families that were divorced, where there was abuse, where there was addiction, and you'll see that. That's why you might say, oh, my grandfather had an alcohol problem. My dad did. Now I've got it, but I want to stop it so my kids don't have it. So a lot of times our family karma, you know, we're born into it, and our soul chose it, whether you believe that or not. Why would I want to choose this crazy dad or mom? But our soul chose that to work on it. And it may be that we've been with this same family circle for many, many lifetimes, too.
All right, Maria, we're going to come back and take calls with you next hour. If it's just about you, we need your birth date. If it's about you and somebody you are involved with, we need that person's birth date, too.